We're holding on Nun Umud Beis, the third line of the middle size lines. And we started learning yesterday about a Machlokas Rav and Shmuel. What is the halachic theory basically behind when we say when the Torah says that a person is chayav for he digs or uncovers a pit, which we established the minimum depth is 10 tefachim, and an animal falls in there and dies. What is the halachic theory behind the fact that the person is chayiv for the pit? Rav had said you can't be mechayiv him for the fact that the animal banged itself falling, that there was an impact, because that what it landed on is karka olam. It's a ground that was always there and that belongs to everybody. It's a bor b'shasarabim, after all, we're talking about. So therefore, you can't be mechayiv him for that. What you can be mechayiv him for is the havla, the fact that there's stale, the fact that there's stale air in a bor of that depth. And therefore, that basically either suffocated the animal outright, or even if not suffocated, at least weakened it so that it ended up dying over there. Whereas Shmuel had said that no, you do have both. You have to consider havloi as well as chavto. You do have to consider the stale air. It's true, but you also have to consider the impact. You can't pater him because the impact was on karka olam. When there's no impact. For example, the bird is lined with tufts of wool or something soft like that that'll break its fall. You still have, if the bird is deep enough, then there will be havloi, there will be stale air over here, and that alone can kill the animal. But it's one or the other. It's one or the other. Shmuel says you can't potter him on the grounds of that. There is a you can't potter him on the grounds of karka olam. So the Gemara says Tanan. Let's look at our Mishnah and see which one it fits with better. The Mishnah had said, "Hoyu pchusin me'asar tefachim." We said that if any of the Mishnah had mentioned five different kinds of pits, depending on the shape and the size, but all of them we said have to be at least 10 tefachim deep. So the Mishnah had said, "Hoyu pchusin me'asar tefachim." If any of them are less than 10 tefachim deep, the nafal l'seicha shor chamor v'mes, and a shor or chamor fell into there and died. Potter, then the one who dug or uncovered the burr is potter because we assume that a burr that's less than 10 tefachim deep is not able to kill. However, the Mishnah had continued that if the animal gets injured by falling into the burr, then the one who dug it or uncovered it is chayev. We have to ask, my time. Why would he be potter if it was less than 10 tefachim, if the animal died? Lav mishum de les lechavda. The pashto is because the impact of a bird that's less than 10 tefachim deep is not powerful enough. It's not enough of a fall to kill an animal. So in that case, then that would now the Gemara is assuming at this point that there is hevla in such a burr. The Gemara is assuming that there still can be stale air in such a burr, and shouldn't that be enough to kill the animal? So according to Shmuel, then that so according to Shmuel, who says that we have to be mechayev on the basis of chavtoi, well then here there's no chavtoi, therefore he's potter, and therefore he's chayev if the and therefore he's chayev if the animal got injured. But if we assume that such a burr has stale air in it as well, then and according to Rav, that's the only thing you can be mechayev him for, then why shouldn't he be potter if it was less than 10 tefachim as well? Now there is a Tosfos at the top of the next Amud, which on the face of it belongs to a discussion in the middle of the next Amud. On the other hand, there are some of the Achronim who learn that actually that Tosfos belongs over here. In other words, that if we say that it does, and there are other Rishonim who explain somewhat differently, who explain somewhat similarly. I mean that we're assuming if you're going to say when it comes to hevel, then the burr could kill as well, and if there's no hevel, then it's not going to cause nezek either. So why would we say that if the animal was injured, then he'd be chayev? And why would we say then that if it got killed, he would be potter? What's the difference? We should assume that those two things go together. Whenever there's havlo, there's chevta, and vice versa. Unless, like we said, for example, if the pit is lined with fleeces or other soft things that'll break the fall. Or we're going to talk about later on Nun Aleph Amud Beis. We're going to talk about there can be cases where the burr is very wide and therefore there's no stale air in that. We'll get to that later. But right now, at least we're assuming that the two things go together. That's one way of learning. If we assume that that Tosfos that's later on actually belongs over here. Maushon, on the other hand, says differently. He puts that Tosfos later on where we have it in our Gemara, and he's saying really the question would be on both Rav and Shmuel, because you could say that when it comes to Nizokin, the we're assuming there is Hevel in there, we assume there is stale air in there as well, so therefore Yochayev, but we're assuming there's no Chavta, we're assuming it's not deep enough for a person to be for an animal, I mean, to be banged in there for the impact to be enough to kill the animal. So why should there be a difference? If there's hevel, then conceivably it could kill as well. And if there's no hevel, then it's not going to cause hezek either. Actually, Maushaw actually explains the question somewhat differently. Whatever. Anyway, the point is that if the Torah is b'machayev, either way, when there's hevel, we assume there's hevel in there. So then, why should he be potter when the animal dies? And the answer is loy mishum de lesbe hevla. As a matter of fact, no. You're assuming that a bur even less than 10 tefachim has stale air in it. No, it doesn't. So there's no hevla and there's no chavta either. Therefore, you can't be mechayev him if the animal died. So the Gemara says yehochi imhuzak bechayev. Well, then why yechayev if the animal got injured? V'halas bechevla. There's no hevel in it. And again, according to Rav, at least the question would be that you can't be mechayev him on the grounds of chavta because it's kavka olam. And the answer is Amri. They answered ein hevla lemisa v'yesh hevla lenizakin. There is enough hevel in it as far as that the animal could be there's not enough stale air to kill it, but there is enough to injure it, and therefore Rav following his shita that hevel is enough to be mechayev him, then you would be mechayev him on the basis of that. So the Mishnah is not a contradiction against Rav. All right, so now the Gemara is going to bring another case involving an animal falling, from which we're going to end up pointing out seems to we're setting aside the question of Rav and Shmuel for the moment. We're going to get back to Hevla and Chavta soon, but first we're going to deal with another case. Actually, it really does. It's going to relate to this in the sense. So far, we seem to have established both Rav and Shmuel seem to accept that there's no chavta if there's less than 10 tefachim. And Rav says anyway, there's no reason to be mechayev him on the grounds of chavta. And Shmuel says there is, but Shmuel is saying that that less than 10 tefachim, you're not going to have that anymore. But now the Gemara tells a story from which it comes out. It seems that there's somebody who disagrees with that. So the Gemara says, "Ahu tora de nafala arisa de deloy." There was a shur that fell into a ditch that people used to irrigate their fields. Now this ditch, Rashi points out, is usually an amadi. That is why we often have in Gemara terminology such a thing is often called amas hamayim, because it's an amadi. It's a channel of water that they would use for irrigating the field. Anyway, so a shur fell into that. The Shachte Morei, the owner of the shur, shechted it right away. Taufei, Rab Nachman, and Rab Nachman declared the shur to be treif. You have a concept which the Gemara discusses in full in called Risuk Evarim. Right, we're going to talk about it in a second. There's a concept called Risuk Evarim. You can have an animal that fell from a height. 10 tefachim is the minimum the Gemara mentions over there. That we're now here. So usually the height is 10 tefachim. When the animal falls from a height of 10 tefachim or more, we're concerned that there may have been risuk evarim. There may have been internal organs of it that were damaged in the fall. So you have rules over there. If the animal can walk, then you don't have a problem. And if it can't walk, then you have to keep it for 24 hours. In this case, the animal couldn't walk, and the owner shechted it right away. So Rav Nachman declared it treif because there may be risuk evarim.
Why did the
animal didn't walk. The channel was 6 tefachim deep. That's the question. It's less than 10 tefachim. That's what we're going to get to.
Why did he
shechted it because he figured, what can I do with it anymore? What am I going to do with an injured ox? I'm afraid it's going to die. He didn't realize that it's treif at this point unless he waits 24 hours. Rav Nachman declared it treif and Amr of Nachman. And Rav Nachman said, as a matter of fact, too bad this guy rushed to do this. Ish shokel more dehai torah kabba de kimcha.
couldn't just sell it.
Yeah, he could have, but he figured who's going to want to buy an injured ox like that. So he shechted it, figuring at least I'll get the meat. But now he lost out. So Rav Nachman says, "Ishokel more dehay tora kaba de kimcha." If the owner, listen, no, you can get enough from it, but he wanted to actually eat the meat. Fine, but he wanted to actually be able to eat the meat. Wait,
25 cents compared to $5.
Yeah, so he figured he's going to be able to eat the meat. In fact, Rav Nachman declared it today, and Omer Rav Nachman. If only this owner of the shur would have taken a cav of flour, and he would have gone to ask the halacha at the base medrash before he shechts it, then they would tell him that if the animal survives for 24 hours, then it's kosher, and then he wouldn't have been in such a hurry to shecht it within the 24 hours, then it would have been kosher, and then the shava kamakobi, that kabi. Then he wouldn't have lost the value of an animal, which is worth many kavim of flour. In other words, he rushed into it by going and he figured he better shecht it, otherwise it's going to die. He didn't realize he should have asked in the Beis Medrash. They would have told him it's not going to do any good to shecht it within the 24 hours. You want to preserve as much of the value of the animal, wait 24 hours. And then if it survives, then you can shecht it and then you'll have the whole value. See, here he jumped the gun. So therefore he lost out, and therefore now he only gets now the animal is treif, and all he can do is feed it to dogs, which means that it's worth next to nothing.
I understand the punchline, but why is he using the word a cup of flour? So he should have come to Beis Medrash.
In other words, because we're assuming this guy is not close enough to a Beis Medrash to be able to just walk over a block and ask them. We're talking about the pashtos. He lives some distance away from a Beis Medrash. Fine, but in other words, he should have taken a cab of flour. In other words, he should have packed a lunch. He should have packed some food for a trip and gone on a trip to a couple of hours or however long it takes to go to the nearest yeshiva, and they would have told him, the halacha. So Alma Kasavar Rav Nachman Yesh Chavdil Pachas Ma'asara. So it comes out that Rav Nachman is saying that you can have an animal can be banged up and injured even to the extent of being killed, even if it's less than 10 tefachim, because here it was only 6 tefachim. And the point is, because the whole point of this trefa of Nefula, this whole Risuk Evarim, is only where it's enough of a height that it could potentially kill the animal. Then even though the animal wasn't actually killed in the fall, we're concerned that there may have been internal organs that were crushed and damaged by it. But if it's less than ten tefachim, because you're talking about if it fell on its head, but actually when it comes to risuk evarim, mostly what we're concerned is internal organs that are inside the animal's body cavity. So we're talking about things, the heart, the lungs, the stomachs, the spleen, whatever, any of those, the liver, any of those kinds of things that may have been injured in such a way where we can't tell right away. It takes 24 hours to be able to tell. So after 24 hours, then you can shecht it, and then you can check and see if there's anything that's misshapen or whatever. But the head, yeah, if it fell on its head, you'd have to check its brain. But this concept of risuk evarim is a general thing. When an animal falls and bangs on the ground or on something hard or whatever, so you have to check all of its internal organs.
So even if this case, what he did right away,
lost out because Rav Nachman told him it's safe, because within 24 hours, we can't tell.
No, it's within 24 hours. If you're doing a good bedika, you could see
out. No. The rule is that risuk evarim, you can't tell till after 24 hours. So if the animal gets up and walks right away, then it shows that the fall was not so serious, and then therefore there's no problem with risuk evarim at all. But if the animal can't stand up and can't walk, then you need to wait 24 hours. And in this case, this guy jumped the gun and shechted it early.
But if he walked an hour after that?
If it walked an hour, then it would have been fine, yeah.
Oh, just a matter of
that. Yeah. So we're saying that Rav Nachman evidently holds that a fall of six tefachim, of even less than 10 tefachim, can kill an animal. Well, Eisve Rava Rav Nachman. Well, then Rava asked Rav Nachman, how does that fit with our Mishnah? We said in our Mishnah that if the burr was less than 10 tefachim deep, the nafal secha shura chamur v'mes, and a shura chamur fell into it and died, potter. Then the owner of the burr, the one who dug the burr, is potter. My timer. Now, why is it potter if it's less than 10 tefachim? By the way, I should mention, as far as this matter of the terefa, Tosfos does point out over here that nowadays we don't have the expertise to do that kind of checking even after 24 hours. So the result would be, if an animal fell like that, it doesn't actually stand up and walk, we're actually going to have to keep it around for 12 months and see if it survives, because we have the general rule that a terefa doesn't live more than 12 months.
You say guys don't do it.
So I don't know. We don't, in general, in many areas of halacha, in many areas of terefas, we say we don't have the expertise to do such a bedikah anymore. Anyway, getting back to, so Rava says to Rav Nachman, the fact is, the Mishnah says that if the bor was less than 10 tefachim, and a shor chamor fell into it and died, potter, then the owner is potter. My timer, la b'shem de les bechavda, b'pashtus, because there's no impact. The impact of a less than 10 tefachim deep bor is not deep enough to kill the animal. So why are you saying over here it was a 6 tefach deep ditch, and you're already saying the animals today? And
the shore can fall 5-10 tefachim and still have a heart attack and die. So what are we talking about here?
If the bird is less than 10 tefachim deep, we assume it doesn't have enough hevel, or it doesn't have enough hevel or chavda, according to the different opinions, to kill. If it happens that the animal nevertheless had a freak heart attack and died, you can't be machai of the owner of the bird for that. So you can only mechayev him for what would happen under normal circumstances. Under normal circumstances, a bur 10 tefachim deep is enough to kill. A bur 9 tefachim deep is not enough to kill. So even if it happens, this was a particularly weak animal and it died, nevertheless, we can't be mechayev him. You have such a thing in other areas.
When you say enough to kill, you mean enough to kill in a certain way, like trauma,
enough
breaking.
To kill, however it is, the animal is dead. The animal is dead at the end of it. As we talked
so
about,
then the animal can...
One second, let's not talk over each other. You can have, we talked about yesterday, you can have, for example, Rashi pointed out, even according to Rav, that we're only Mechayev for Hevla, what if, for example, the animal died of a broken neck or of a burst open stomach or whatever? Wouldn't it be obvious that that was because of the impact? No, Rashi says, the fact is, we have to consider that the Hevla factored into it as well. Rishonim explained that maybe Rav would say, in other words, had it not been for the Hevla, the animal would have had enough strength to be able to brace itself so it doesn't hit the bottom quite so hard. So therefore, the combination of things is what killed it.
The hevla only happens once he gets inside.
No, but in other words, as it's falling, it's already breathing in this hevla, and therefore that's enough already, Rab would consider to make it. So yeah, if you have, now later on, again, we're going to talk about, for example, you can have a very wide burr where there's no hevla. So then, yeah, according to Rab, a person might be potter for such a thing. You have a case where the burr is padded, where again, if you say the problem is hevla it has, but chavta it doesn't, Shmuel is going to say you chayev either way, because he says you chayev for either one. Hevla is a stale air that you find at the bottom of a bird.
So hevla is
chavta is the actual impact.
So instead of chavta, we mashayer that tent fachin.
That tent fachin is enough to kill you. Yeah.
But what's the shire for this, for the bad ear?
That's what we're saying. So far, we're saying that 10 tefachim as well. If it's not 10 tefachim deep, it doesn't have enough bad air in it to kill the animal. Yeah. But we're saying it might have enough to weaken the animal. So therefore, if the animal gets injured, even less than 10 tefachim, you're chayev. But to kill would only be 10 tefachim. And by the way, you have such things in other areas of halacha as well. You can have a case, for example, where one person hits somebody with a rock, for example. So we say, you know, if the rock is big enough and it was on a part of the body where the impact would be strong enough to kill him, then the person is chayev misa. Let's say, for example, he took a tiny little pebble and hit the guy on his toe, and then all of a sudden the guy had a heart attack and died. You can't be mechayev him. You can't be mechayev him for killing the other guy, because obviously it was some kind of freak thing. A little pebble like that and on his toe is not enough for in a normal case to cause death. So based in each time has to evaluate the circumstances and see. So it would be over here as well. Anyway, so again, Rava's question to Rav Nachman is, so what are you saying that here it was a ditch only 6 tefachim deep, and you're being mechai, and you're saying the animal is treif because it fell into it, and because you didn't wait the 24 hours, based on our Mishnah, less than 10 tefachim shouldn't be a problem. So Rav Nachman answers, loy, mishum de les behavla. No, the difference is that less than 10 tefachim, there's no hevla, there's no stale air in there, but there still can be chevda, there still can be the impact, and in the case of treifus, it's the impact that we care about. So Rava asks, Yehochi Huzak Boi Chayev. Well, in that case, when the Mishnah continues, if the animal was injured by falling into the burr, then he's Chayev. Why should he be Chayev? Hol Lespe Hevla. According to what you're saying, there's no Hevla in it. So why should he be Chayev? Amalei. So he answers him, Ein Hevel Amisiv, Yesh Hevel Nezakin. Like we said before, there's no Hevel enough to kill the animal, but there could be enough as far as Nezakin. Therefore, you can be Mechayev. So when it comes to, when it comes to treifus, we don't care about hevla. All we care about is chavda. So there, if it's a, so there, less than two. So there can be chavda even less than 10 tefachim. But here we're talking about there has to be hevla in order to be chayev for the death of the animal, and there isn't because less than 10 tefachim there isn't. So here's where Tosfos says, and Tosfos actually begins with the word amri. They say. Which means, in other words, that it, now, does this Tosfos belong over here, or does it belong to the previous discussion? Like we were saying, different Achronim have different understandings about that. Marsha places this Tosfos over here, which would mean that Tosfos is saying it's not Omar Le that Rav Nachman answers Rava with this answer, but rather Amri, the Bnei HaYeshiva, answered that there is a difference between Hevla and Chavta. Which would mean, in other words, Rav Nachman himself may hold differently, and in fact, the Gemara is going to go on and understand Rav Nachman differently. On the other hand, we can say, and a number of Achronim say, Pnei Yeshua and others, that Tosfos at the top of the Amud over here actually belongs earlier, and then that was earlier when the Gemara was discussing the point about when our Mishnah talks about less than 10 Tefachim, what's going on over there, how would Rav understand it? Okay.
Where's
the Gemara? The Tosfos over here at the top of Nun Aleph Amud. So some of the Mepharshim say that it actually belongs earlier. Yeah. Okay. Esve, so Rava says, to Rav Nachman, I have another contradiction. We learn when it comes to skila, how is skila accomplished? Besa skila hoya gavoya shtei koimis. The place where they would do skila was 2 persons' heights tall. So a person is about two, not so much stories, but heights of a person. A person is so your average person is approximately between 3 and 4 amas tall. So therefore, it would be double that. Yeah, you have.
Rambam says it's 2 stories.
Yeah, not 2 stories. The Rambam uses the expression "shtei komos," just like here. In modern Hebrew, "komos" means building, means floors of a building. And in Gemara terminology, it means the height of a person. So in other words, now you have there is you're in different places. The Gemara, for example, shiur mikveh is 3 amos tall. Does that mean 3 amos is actually a person's total height, head to toe? Or Tosfos discusses in some places, maybe not. Maybe a person's total height is 4 amos. But then you have to consider when he goes into the mikveh, he displaces some of the water. It goes up higher because he's taking up some of the space where the water was, and therefore that takes up the 4th amos. We have among the more contemporary poskim, you have the difference of opinion between the Chazon Ish and Rav Avraham Chaim Noah about the length of an amma. Rav Avraham Chaim Noah makes it about 1.5 feet. The Chazon Ish makes it about 2 feet. That may be related to this machlokas. If you say a person's height, if you say the average person is 3 amas tall, it wouldn't be Rav Avraham Chaim Noah amas. Then a person would be 4.5 feet tall. People are usually taller than that. People usually are around 5.5, 6 feet tall. So then in that case, that would fit better with the Chazon Ish's amma. On the other hand, if you say a person's total height is 4 amas, and you were to say Chazon Ish amas, you may have an 8 feet, and you also don't have that b'derech klal. So then it makes more sense to according to that, to take Rav Avraham Chaim no amas, so then it comes out to around 6 feet. Yeah. Anyway, whatever the case, the point is, so the Beis HaSkila was twice the height of a person, but Toni Allah, and we learn in a b'raisa of a koyma shaloi harei kan sholish. There was also, they would have the person stand over there, the one who's going to be executed, so therefore the total height from which his head is falling and hitting the ground is 3 times the height of a person. So in other words, if we figure if a person is 6 foot tall, for example, so they have a platform 12 amas tall, and then his height is another 6. So his head would be traveling 18 feet before hitting the ground.
We're saying the same amount.
Well, that's the question. So now the Sakadadach Yesh Chabta Vapachas Miyud. So Rava is asking of Nachman, if you tell me that there can be impact that can kill with even less than ten tefachim, Lomali Kulei Hai. Why do you need such a high height? You should be able to do it less than that. Tosfos points out that the Gemara evidently is assuming over here that the rules of treifus for animals and for people are similar. Now, Tosfos points out that in fact Rabbeinu Tam does draw a distinction between them, and according to him, you'd have to understand all Gemara differently. But anyway, the question is, why do we have to have, again, if we assume, let's say, so a person's height is 3 amos, so you're telling me you have 6 amos height of platform, where an amma is 6 tefachim, so you've got 36 tefachim, plus the person's own height standing, so altogether you've got something over 50 tefachim. So why, if we're saying even less than 10 tefachim, according to Rav Nachman, is enough to kill an animal? Because you have, think about it, you have a person is approximately, let's say we follow the opinion that a person is 3 amas tall.
Which is?
which is forget about translating at the feet, but there were six tefachim to an amma, so that means 18 tefachim. So the height of a person then is going to be 18 tefachim. Right. Double that is going to be 36. Right. Add another height of the person because he's standing there and they push him off from a standing position. Right. Brings you to 54 tefachim. And Rav Nachman is saying that even less than 10 tefachim is enough to kill an animal. We should assume it's enough to kill a person as well. So why do we need such a tall height?
Well, it depends also
who
you hit.
Well, that's a lomali kolai, so why do you need so much? They were talking tefachim, which is 54 tefachim, whatever. It would come out, according to Rabbi Avraham Chaim Noah, it would come out to around, either way, a person's height is around 6 feet. So either way, you're talking, either way, whatever. Yeah. Anyway, so the Gemara says, and according to your own Svara that you're asking the question, fine, so it should be enough 10 tefachim. Even if you, Rav, are arguing on the basis of our Mishnah, 10 tefachim is for sure enough to kill an animal. So Taka, why do you need 54 tefachim then, according to the calculation that we made? Why not just 10? And the answer is Elokid Rav Nachman. The answer must be like something else that Rav Nachman himself said. The pasuk says you should love your fellow yid as yourself, and that means even when your fellow yid is a criminal who has to be executed, nevertheless, choose for him the best possible death. So it has to be something. In other words, 10 tefachim may be enough to kill, but he might not right away die. It might only stun him. He might suffer or whatever. And so therefore, we want something that's going to make him more likely to be killed sooner. Well, the Gemara asks the Hachi Nigba Tvei. In that case, why are we limiting it to only? In that case, why are we limiting it to only 9 amas? In that case, make it taller than that. And the answer is Vishum de Minval, because then the body is going to be become disgusting, because then it's gonna break apart, it's gonna get smashed, it's gonna get broken up into pieces, and that wouldn't be Misa Yafa either. So we have to strike a balance between, we want the person to be most likely as possible to die from the fall. Now the fact is, if not, the Mishnah tells us in Sanhedrin that if he didn't die from the fall, then they throw a big rock on him, and if not, then everybody pelts him with stones. But yeah, at least we want to have that if possible. He should die from the original fall. So therefore, we need to strike a balance between, it should be high enough that he'll die, that he will be most likely to die, but not enough that the body will splatter. And the Chachamim figured out that this height will be the proper height for that.
Okay, isn't it said that the verse make him drunk or something?
They also give him to drink. That's also true. Yeah, but that's they give him wine with Lavoina mixed into it in order to numb him. Yeah, well, that's true. But nevertheless, he's still going to feel something. Lavoina is a spice that they use in the Mizbeah and that they use in the Mizbeah. It would help them numb.
What do you mean? No.
It's sort of like an anesthetic kind of. Okay, onward. Yeah. Okay, Aspe. Okay, so therefore, no contradiction from that. Yes, according to Rav Nachman, even less than 10 tefachim would be enough to kill. And even if you don't accept that, certainly the Mishnah says 10 tefachim would be enough. But we want to make it tall enough to make it that the kill is more likely and easy. Okay, Aspe. So Rav says, I have another contradiction on Rav Nachman. We know we have the mitzvah of Micah. We have a mitzvah that if you have a house, then you have to put up a guardrail around the roof so nobody falls off. Now, the Pasuk says, Ki yipol hanoifol mimenu. The Pasuk says, you have to put up a Micah because otherwise a person might fall off it. Now, what does that mean? Mimenu v'loi b'soichai. We learn from that, says a Braisa, that the problem is only that a person might fall off the roof onto the ground, not the other way around, that a person might fall from the ground onto the roof. Okay. Meaning, suppose you have, well, you can have, but the Rosh Hashanah is higher, and the person's house near Rosh Hashanah is built on lower ground, and therefore you have, conceivably, a person could fall off the edge of Rosh Hashanah onto the guy's roof. Well, then there's no.
How's the guy going to go?
Well, that what do you mean? How's the guy going to go? A person is walking along that Rosh Hashanah Abim, which is higher up. Imagine you have a Rosh Hashanah Abim by the edge of a cliff. Let's say, imagine you have, you have one of some of these roads, like by the edge of a cliff whatever. You have like a steep drop off or something, and below it, you have a roof a little further down. Yeah. There can be a person can build a house there. So, what does this mean? If the Rosh Hashanah was 10 tefachim above the height of the roof, and a person fell from the Rosh Hashanah onto the roof, Potter, then the owner of the house is Potter. We can, you know, he's Potter from having to build a micah. Now, we don't say the people of Rosh Hashanah Abim, we can't force them to build a micah, because this is we're showing him, give an example. This is an example of the concept the Gemara mentions, Kidur at the Beis Shukti. When you have, like, imagine you have a pot that belongs to multiple partners, everyone thinks the other guy is going to take care of it. So, the same way, like, you can't impose on any one person of Rosh Hashanah Abim to put up a fence, because he can say it's a Rosh Hashanah Abim and the other person should be responsible for it. So, but the owner of the house is not responsible, because we're learning from the pasuk that he's only responsible for people falling off his house onto this road, onto the ground, not the other way around.
But he had a gate, how would that help the guy?
Maybe the guy maybe would break the guy's fall or something, whatever. The point is, we don't require the person who owns this house to put up something to break people's fall from Rosh Hashanah. Wait. But if it was the other way around, if the Rosh Hashanah Abim was 10 tefachim deeper than the house, meaning a normal case where the house sticks up above Rosh Hashanah Abim, and someone falls off that roof onto the Rosh Hashanah Abim, Chayev, the owner of the house, is Chayev. Now, we don't mean Chayev as in he's Chayev to pay or something. What we mean is, in other words, he was Chayev to begin with to make a micah, and it's his responsibility. He's Chayev B'din Shemayim for the fact that he failed to make a micah.
Is it if you only have access to be able to go on the roof when you have to build it? If you don't have access,
if it's a flat roof, then you have a chiyuv too. Yeah, you'd have to have access to it. That's also true. But
if you don't have access,
if you don't have access, then nobody's going up on there. So then you'd be called to. Yeah. So says Rava to Rav Nachman, if you're telling me that there is chavta, that an animal, and we assume also a person, can be killed by an impact of less than 10 tefachim, lomali asora, then why does the house have to be 10 tefachim tall? A person should be chayiv in micah, even if the house is less than 10 tefachim tall. Yeah. Amalei, so Rav Nachman answers him, shiny bias, the difference is with a house, the chopochos me'asor ala biasu. The difference is if it's less than 10 tefachim tall, it's not considered a house, and the whole mitzvah in the Torah is only that you have to build a micah on top of your house.
Which is a minimum of
10 tefachim, because less than that, it's not considered a house. The Chazon Ish gives an interesting explanation in this. He says like this. I mean, after all, you have other kinds of hazards as well, which the fact is, we learned at the end of the previous parak, for example, a person is not allowed to have a dangerous dog or a rickety ladder in his house, because lo sasim damim v'secha, but all of a sudden over here, we're saying it's only a roof. And he says like this, because those other kinds of things, it's not normal to have around there, and people don't know to be careful of them. A roof. People go up onto their roofs all the time. So usually when a person goes up on a roof, you should expect that he's going to pay attention and not fall off. Nevertheless, the Torah imposes on you, the owner of the house, to put a micah. But if the thing is not considered a house in halacha, then it's like, and then really we're saying, you know what, look, if anybody goes up on such a thing, they have to take responsibility. As it is, by default, you would have thought a person has to take responsibility when they're up on a roof, just that in the case of a house, the Torah tells you, go the extra mile and put up a micah. But here, where it's not even considered a house, because less than 10 tefachim, then Rav Nachman is saying you don't have that. Then the Braisa is telling us you don't have that responsibility.
If it's like an apartment building and on the roof, it's saying you have.
If it's an apartment building, then the owner of the apartment building has that responsibility.
If he's a Jew.
Yeah. Okay. So the Gemara asks, "Hochi hashda nami dehavi me'avroi yasara." Fine, but consider if the outside of the house is 10 tefachim from the ground until the top of the roof, the inside is going to be less. Damine tikro ma'aziva. Subtract the thickness of the. Of the ceiling boards and of the plaster on them, migavoi lehavi asora, and the result is the house is not 10 tefachim from the inside. Now the whole point is, why is a house less than 10 tefachim tall not considered a house? Because you can't live in it normally. A house that you can live in is going to be 10 tefachim tall. For the same reason we have a sukkah, for example, has to be at least 10 tefachim tall. So what are you telling me that the key thing is whether it's a house that you can live in? In that case, we shouldn't say that the rule is whether the house is 10 tefachim tall on the outside. We should say whether it's 10 tefachim tall on the inside, and that would mean on the outside it would have to be at least 11 or 12 or whatever it is tefachim tall, because you have to consider the thickness of the roof. So why, and yet the Braisa is saying that 10 tefachim you're chayiv in a micah, even though you can't live on the inside. Omalei, said Rav Nachman, answers him, fine, because you're talking about that in this case, the person wants to have a house that he can live in, which is at least 10 tefachim tall, but the ceiling is less than 10, less than 10 tefachim from the floor. So fine, what he does is he digs out in the ground over there to compensate. If the outside of the house is 10 tefachim off the ground, what he's doing is, let's say inside, it's only 9 tefachim, fine, he digs one tefach deep into the floor to have his 10 tefachim. Well, the Gemara asks, Yehochi, so Rava asks, Yehochi, Kilo Havi Nami Mavroy Asora, Mashkachas Lada Havi Megavoy Asora. Well, then in that case, you don't even need the roof to be 10 tfachim off the ground. You could easily have a house then where the inside is 10 tfachim tall and the outside is less than 10 tfachim off the ground.
But digging,
they're going to Chakbet Tve by digging even deeper. So why are we saying that you're chayev in a micah only when the outside of the house is 10 tefachim off the ground? And you're saying, because less than 10 tefachim is not a house, shouldn't we look at the interior dimensions and see if the interior is 10, then you're chayev in a micah, no matter, even if the roof is much less than 10 tefachim off the ground.
Then we say that the less than 10, you're not going
to do. Well, that's that's the question. According to Rav Nachman, even less than 10 tefachim is enough to kill. So in that case, Mela, if we went with our Mishnah, with the simple meaning of our Mishnah, we'd say only 10 tefachim is enough to kill. So we'd say the Torah is only makbid on that. But now that you, Rav Nachman, are saying in this case of the shur that fell into the irrigation ditch, you're being mechayev when it was only 6 tefachim deep. So then in that case, if your roof is 6 tefachim off the ground, you should have to make a mikveh. It's not a livable house. You do, because you have half the house can be below ground level.
What do you mean
that? He's going to be the same way as nowadays. You have basement.
Where's he going to enter?
We'll have upstairs, down the steps. Yeah, we'll go down steps in the house. Think of like many basements in Crown Heights over here that are half up, that are half above ground and half below ground. So the Gemara says, Ella, no, you're right. So you're right. You can't say based on that the vote should be that less than 10 tefachim can kill. No, the reason why, Hainu, time of the Rav Nachman, the reason why in the case of the shur that fell into the ditch, Rav Nachman declared it tereif, because Sabar, he figures like this, Mikresa de Torah la'ara kamahavi arba, because you have to consider, what's the distance from the stomach of the animal, from the underside of the animal until the ground is 4 tefachim. So in other words, you have the animal standing over there, you have the legs of it, you have the height from the ground until the bottom of the animal's stomach is 4 tefachim, or maybe more than 4. Arisa de Deloy Kamahavi, how deep is this irrigation dick? Shitta, we said it's 6 tefachim. So therefore, so you have 4 plus 6, ha'asara, there's your 10. Ishtakach de kikom machbet, me'asara hu de kikom machbet. It comes out when the animal's midsection, which is the area where we're concerned about risik levarim, when it hits the ground, that's 10 tefachim, 4 plus 6.
But that's only the full sideways.
So the Gemara says, Ela masnis in the katoni maboshu k'de lahomis yud tefachim, af kol sheyeshbe k'de lahomis yud tefachim. Well, then why is the Mishnah saying that a bur has to be 10 tefachim, and if it's less than 10 tefachim, then you potter? The shita nami sagya, based on what Rav Nachman is saying, you should be chayev even if the bur was only 6 tefachim deep. And the answer is Amri. So the answer masnis in the igander la bur, because the Mishnah is talking about where the shur rolled into the bur, so therefore you don't have the 4 tefa height from it. So here you have Rishonim disagree on that. Some Rishonim learn that it means that you're right. It means only if the animal literally rolled into the burr, only then are you chayiv when it's minimum of 10 tefachim. But if it had actually been standing or walking and fell into the burr, then yes, you would be chayiv even if it was less than 10. Whatever it is, however, you have to add up 10 tefachim.
I guess.
Meaning exactly that. According to that way of looking at it, you have to add up the height of the shur's stomach from the ground and add that to the height of the burn. If altogether you've got 10 tefachim over there, then you would be chayav.
Which way did it roll?
If we're talking about, the Gemara is saying if it rolled. So if it rolled, meaning there's no distance between its midsection and the ground, then you need full 10 tefachim. What would happen if it was standing or walking and fell into the burr, according to some Rishonim, for example, the Rif, and some other Rishonim, in fact, it would depend if the animal rolled or if it was standing or walking. According to them, if it was standing or walking, you would, in fact, be chayev if it fell even into less than 10 tefachim, like here, Rav Nachman declared the animal treif because it fell into 6 tefachim. On the other hand, the Rishonim, on the other hand, the Rashba, explains that, no, what the Gemara means is you have to have the size of burr for purposes of Nizokin, not for purposes of Terefus. That's something else. But for purposes of Nizokin, it has to be that the burr is one that's deep enough to kill in all cases, even if the animal were to have rolled in there. And therefore, you always need 10 tefachim. Even if the animal fell in there from a standing position, nevertheless, you need 10 tefachim. And below that, we cannot be machayev of the person for the death of the animal, because it's not the kind of bird that in all cases has 10 tefachim to be able to kill. So according to the Rashba and a number of other Rishonim, that's the vote. You always have to have, it has to be 10 tefachim deep.
It all depends if it's a nice, rigid square, or if it's night, or if it's...
No, that's what we said. It doesn't matter the shape of it as long as it's 10 tefachim deep. an interesting point, by the way, in connection with what we were talking about the Chazanish versus sort of Avram Chaim Noah, as far as the Shiur of an Amma. The Chazanish mentions, here you have, on the face of it, he says, you have a proof for the greater size of an Amma. He says, consider if an Amma is only a foot and a half, like Avram Chaim Noah says, and therefore Tefach is only about 3 inches, it means the four Tefachim that the Gemara is talking about over here is only 12 inches. The stomach of a cow is not that close to the ground. So therefore, it makes sense, he says, that the tefach and therefore the amma must be more larger. than must be larger. On the other hand, they answer back against him. The fact is, the Rashba says on the Gemara over here, the Gemara doesn't mean that's necessarily four tefachim. The Gemara means it's at least four tefachim. It may be even more than that. But therefore, whatever the case, you have a minimum of four tefachim and plus the six tefachim, and all you need, you already have the ditch itself is six tefachim deep in Rav Nachman's case. So all you need is an extra four tefachim. But in fact, it might actually be five or six or seven or whatever it is tefachim. The point is that altogether, the ditch plus that distance equals more than, equals 10 or more than 10.
Well, the ditch is exact. Some places are higher than it's lower.
Because the ditch was always dug to a depth of an amma. That's why they called it amma samayim, she pointed out.
No, amma is about how much?
An amma is six tefachim, about 18 inches according to the Avraham Chaim Noah, about 24 inches according to the Chazanish. Okay. Next, the Mishnah says, Bur shel shnei shukvin. If you have a bur that belongs to two partners, over all of harishin v'leikisahu, if the first one passed by the bur, and he didn't cover it, so then we're going to explain in the Gemara what happened was that we're going to explain that the first one left the first one before he left, the second one came to start using it, and he started using it, and the first one then left. So then, therefore, the first one didn't cover it because the second one was busy using it. Vasheni loikisahu, and the second one didn't cover it. Hasheni chayab, the second one is going to be chayab because he should have covered it when he was done.
Even if the first one is the one that uncovered it.
Even if the first one is the one that uncovered it, because the fact is he left the second one using it. Mm-hmm. There is, in fact, a girsa that some Rishonim have, Harishin chayab, that the first one is chayab, but it's not necessarily really a difference in halacha. It means, in other words, it depends. If the first one left it without the second one being there, without the second one using it at the time, we're going to talk about in the Gemara details about that. So, but first the Gemara deals with Ambi. We first have to figure out Bur shel shnei shutfin heichem hashkachas lo. What exactly is the scenario of a bur that belongs to two partners where we're saying either one of them could be equally well liable? Hanicha isvirlan k'Rav Akiva. Now, we can understand it easily enough. If we hold like Rabbi Akiva, we learned a couple of days ago, Machlokas Rabbi Akiva and Rabbi Shmuel, about what is the nature of the bur that the Torah is machayev on. We had Rabbi Shmuel and we had Rabbi Akiva. Then we had within that we had Rabba's understanding and we had Rabbi Yosef's understanding of them. So we had Rabba had understood that Rabbi Akiva says that you are chayev for a bur b'shusa rabim, and as far as a bur b'shusa, if you were mafkir your property, then you're also chayev. And then Rabbi Shmuel had said that you're only chayev according to Rabba's understanding, that Rabbi Shmuel would say you're only chayev only if it was a bur in your reshus, but not if it was in reshus rabim. Rabbi had said that they would both agree a bur b'shusa rabim yuchayev. The machlokas was a bur b'shusa. Rabbi Akiva said yuchayev, and Rabbi Shmuel had said yupater. So now let's figure out over here. If we hold like Rabbi Akiva, drama bur b'shusa chayev, where Rabbi Akiva says yuchayev even for a bur in your own reshus. So where you were mafkil your reshus, but you still keep ownership of the bur. So then mashkachas la. So then you have an easy example. B'chotzer shel shneihem. You have a chotzer that belongs jointly to two people. Or bur shel shneihem. The bur also belongs jointly to the two of them. V'ifkiru reshusan v'leifkiru buron. They were mafkir the reshus. So now they're allowing people to use this area that used to be their chotzer as part of reshus rabim. They weren't mafkir their bur. They still retain ownership of it. So they both retain ownership, and therefore they both have to cover it. They both have to cover it. And if one or the other doesn't, then they're chayev. Eli Svirulon, Bur B'Shusei Potter. But if we hold like Rabbi Shmuel, who says you're Potter, according to Rabba's understanding, that you're Potter for a Bur in your own Rishus, even though you were Mafkil your Rishus, Rabbi Shmuel, according to Rabba's understanding, that said you're only Chayev where the Bur is in Rishus Rabbim, And otherwise, if it's in Rosh Hashanah Yochid, you're potter. So then, so how do you have a case? Where two people are chayev? Where do you have a case where you're chayev for a bor in the first place? Only Rosh Hashanah Rabim or Rosh Hashanah Rabim. Bor shal shnei shvatrin heichem mashkachas lo. Well, how are you going to have a bor belonging to two people in Rosh Hashanah Rabim? Because it belongs to everyone, what we have to consider. If we're talking about that, the two of them jointly appointed a shliach, and they said, go dig us a bur, and sure enough, he goes and digs the bur. The problem is, in shliach l'dvar aveira. We say, we learned in Kiddushin, there's no concept of shlichus for dvar aveira, with a couple of exceptions that we learned over there, because we say, divra adab, divra atam, divra mishoimin, you know that it's also to do what you're doing, therefore you shouldn't be doing it. The point is, what's the isser? So Rashi understands the issue is you're not allowed to damage Rosh Hashanah Rabim. So when he digs it on their behalf, it's not considered that he's doing it on their behalf. He's the one who's chayev for digging it.
He's digging it for Rabim.
He's digging it. No, he's digging it for the two people who told him to. He's not digging. No, if he was digging it for the Rabim, then we had, like we learned yesterday, we had Nechon Yechoy for Shichin, who was digging Boris and then giving them to the Rabim to use. That's fine. That we said that Kiyim Zeh Halochazu. But what we're talking about, he's digging it. You have Reuven and Shimon hired Levi to dig a bur for them. Well, we say Levi is liable for because he shouldn't have done it. He should know. It's also to be Mazik Rosh Hashanah Rabim. Now, an interesting point in that. We're talking in Rosh Hashanah Rabim. According to Rabbi Shmuel, that's the only way you're going to be chayav for a bur. According to Rabbi Shmuel, you're potter for a bur in your Rosh Hashanah.
You're welcoming the Rabim to come into your.
No, so that Rabbi Shmuel holds that, yeah. And in fact, Tosfos points out, according to Rabbi Shmuel, Tosfos follows their shita that they learned earlier in the Masechta. If you were mafkir the reshus and the bur, then you would be potter. Because the fact is, the bur doesn't belong to you anymore. Rabbi Shmuel says, a bur reshus a rabim yuchaya, but a bur reshus a yachid, you're potter. Whatever it is, they hired Levi because they wanted him to dig a bur in Rosh Hashanah Rabim. Whatever, we don't have to worry why they did it. The fact is, they did it. But we're saying, I've told you before, we don't have to worry about people's motivations. We're just concerned about what they did. The fact is, they did. So therefore, say Ein Shliach L'Dvar Aveira. An interesting lomdish point in this, by the way, is: do we say Ein Shliach L'Dvar Aveira when it comes to something that's only Dirabanan? On the face of it, what Rashi is saying over here, that you're not allowed to damage Rosh Hashanah Rabim, is only an Isur Dirabanan. Do we say Ein Shliach L'Dvar Aveira for that as well, or do we not? So now there are different opinions about that. Other Rishonim learn that maybe we can say, actually, the Issu over here is actually an Issu Daraisa for one thing. Maybe it's the Issu of Lifnei Ivel Loisit and Michshol. The Pasuk says you can't put a stumbling block in front of a blind person. We always understand it to mean that you're not allowed to give somebody bad advice, or you're not allowed to abet somebody doing an Aveira, give them the opportunity to do an Aveira where you otherwise wouldn't have. But there is also the possibility that means on a Parshat level that you're not allowed to put obstacles in Rosh Hashanah Rabim. And in that case, then they're being over on that. In any case, the point is that then Levi would be the one chayav, Reuven and Shimon would not. The Eid Korah Hai Chamisha Vahai Chamisha, you're talking about that Reuven dug five tvachim and then Shimon took over and dug the next five tvachim. Nope, Nistaukulu Mai Sedition. What we say is what Shimon did basically overrode what Reuven did. When Reuven created a boat only five tvachim deep, as we learned before, that's not enough to kill an animal. Therefore, now when Shimon continues digging and digs below and digs all the way down to 10 tvachim, now in effect he replaced Reuven's burr with a burr of his own. So now only Shimon is going to be chayiv if an animal falls into it and dies. Tosfos also points out the Gemara doesn't want to say that. Now we're going to talk about a case soon in the Gemara where Reuven digs 10 tefachim deep and Shimon digs it all the way down to 20 tefachim. The Gemara doesn't want to do that over here because the Gemara wants to assume that we're talking about a bor of strictly 10 tefachim. So how do we have a bor shel shnei shutfin that the Mishnah is talking about? Now, we can answer that it would work out, according to Rebbe's opinion, which we're going to quote in a minute, that as far as Nizokin, because Rebbe holds that a case like that, where one dug five and the other one dug down to 10, that both of them are going to be chayiv for the Nizokin of the animal. So then we can say, you can have a case over here. The animal fell in. Reuven dug it to five fucking deep. Shimon dug another five. Now an animal fell in there and got injured. Rebbe holds, as we're going to talk about in a minute, that both of them are chayiv. So fine, that could be an example of Boreshul Shnei Shutfin. So we're not talking about the death of the animal. We're not talking about the death of the animal. We're talking about the injury. Elo. So then you're able to have Elo the Rebbe or the Misa. But if it's according to Rebbe and we're talking about the animal died in there, or the Rabbanan, Bain the Misa, Bain the Nazakin, or according to the Rabbanan that we're talking about whether the animal got died, whether the animal was killed or injured, because according to the Chachamim, we say that only this last one is Chayev, as the Gemara is going to explain soon. So then, Heichem Ashkachasla. How do you have? What is a Bursh or Shnei Shutfin that our Mishnah is talking about, where both of them have the equal responsibility to cover it? So the answer is Amar Rav Yechanan, Kugancha Okru Shnei and Choya Bavasachas Vishlimu Lassar. Let's say the bird was so far 9 tefachim deep. Then both of them are working down there, and both of them together lift out the last clod of dirt over there and make it 10 tefachim deep. So now both of them together have made it into a 10 tefach deep bur, and therefore both of them are going to be chayiv as far as misa of an animal that falls in there later. Okay, my Rebbe or my Rabbanon. What are these opinions of Rebbe and the Rabbanon that we just referred to? So Tanya, we learn in a Braisa. If one person digs a burr 9 tefachim deep, or another person comes and completes it and makes it 10 tefachim deep, so he digs one more tefach, only that last one is going to be chayev, say the Chachamim, because Tosfos points out, because he's the one who created a whole new metzios of a burr. If you had, for example, Tosfos points out, if let's say the first one had dug 8 tefachim and the other one dug one more tefach and made 9, neither way is that bird capable of causing misa under normal circumstances. Therefore, we can't say that only the last one is chayev. Both of them are going to be chayev equally in the nezakin. But like this, when one of them made it from 9 to 10, he made it into a whole new kind of bur, a whole new metzios of bur, and therefore the Chacham say he exclusively is chayev. According to the Chacham, both misa and nezakin, that's what we just said.
Nezakin alone,
it doesn't matter. But nevertheless, now he made it into a whole new metzios, which is capable not only of causing death, but also, So that's the Chachamim. Rebbe Oma Acha Achron the Misa VaAcha Shneim LeNezakin. Rebbe says the last one sure is the only one who's chayev for the Misa of the animal, because without him there wouldn't be 10 Tefachim. But both of them are chayev for Nezakin. So my time of the Rabbanon. Why did the Chacham say the first one is Potter? I dug 9 out of the 10 Tefachim. Shouldn't you be mechayev him at least for the Nezakin? So the reason is to Amakra ki yiftach v'chiyichra, because the pasuk describes two cases where a person opens up a burr, meaning there was a burr already there with a cover, and he uncovered it, or where he digs a burr. Now we have to ask, like we asked earlier, like we asked in the last couple of blocks, if a person is chayev even for opening up a burr that was already there, how much more so he's chayev for digging a whole new burr that never existed there before? So why does the pasuk have to mention ki yichra? Let it just say ki yiftach, and we'd understand that obviously it means both. So it comes to teach us, say the Chachamim, when you have one person digging after another, one person dug 9, the other one dug the 10th tefach, shesilit ma'isirishin, that he removed what the first one did. In other words, he overrode what the first one did because he created a whole new kind of bird. Because he created a new metzios of a bird
from 9 to 10.
There's a very interesting thing from the Vilna Gaon that's brought on this, that there's a remez to this in the spelling of the words in the pasuk. The pasuk says ki yiftach ish bur or ki yichre ish bur. The first time it says bur, it's written mole, beis vav resh. The second time it's written chaser, beis resh. We have a cholam in both cases, but in one case it's a cholam with a vav and the other one without. He says, because it's hinting at, ki yiftach, it has to be there was a complete burr of 10 tefachim there already. Because obviously, if he's uncovering, it means there's a complete burr already, and all he did is remove the cover. On the other hand, ki yichre ish burr, we're saying over here, he doesn't even have to dig a complete burr. Just he dug the last tefach. It's only a burr chaser. He didn't dig the entire 10 tefachim. He just dug part of it. But he made it into a burr. That's enough to be mechayev. That's why the chaser indicates he didn't have to dig the entire 10 tefachim. He found it with 9 tefachim and he added only the 1 tefachim. So that's according to the Chacham. Yeah. V'Rebbe, Rebbe, V'Rebbe Omalach. So what would Rebbe answer back to that? He would say, you can't learn from that. The fact is, we need to mention both Ki Yiftach and Ki Yichra, as we learned before when we discussed on Daf Mem Tes, the Machloikas on Daf Nun, rather. We talked about the Machloikas of Rabbi Shmuel and Rabbi Akiva, and we said that, yeah, if we said, if it only said, Rabbi Akiva had pointed out, if it only said Ki Yiftach, you would think that there it's enough to cover it, but Ki Yichra, you have to actually fill the whole thing in, and vice versa, if it only said Ki Yichra, then you would say, after all, you dug it, but if you only opened it, maybe you don't even have to recover it. So therefore, the Torah needs to make clear in both cases, you have to cover it, but covering it is enough to patur you. So therefore, so Rebbe says, in that case, you need Ki Yiftach v'Ki Yichra. How can you use it for a drosha that you're saying over here, that Lahavi Korach HaKorah? Korach HaKorah means one person dug 9 tefachim and the other one digging the 10th tefach. Not Korah over the Kuf, Korah over the Kuf. From the Loshan Ki Yichra, when he digs, yeah. So Rebbe says you need the pasuk for that point that Rabbi Akiva had said before, so you don't have it available for another drasha. V'rabbanan nami. So the Gemara asks, V'rabbanan nami mitzrach tzuchi. Nu, don't the Chachamim agree with that point? It's true that you need both of those lashonis in the pasuk. So the answer is Ella, Ainu time of the Rabbanan. Rather, the reason the Chachamim say that if one person dug 9, the second person dug the 10th, then the second one exclusively is chayev, both for Misa and for Nezakin, that the Chachamim say, because Amakro ki yichre ish bur, because the pasuk says when a man digs a bur, that means one person, echad v'lo shnayim, only when one person digs a bur, not two. Therefore, we can only be chayev one person. Now, we'll ask soon, how do we know it's not the first one who's chayev? We'll get to that soon. But the point is, we understand from that there can only be one person chayev for a bur.
It's not called a bur until you do 10.
No, it's not called a bur until you do 10. But the point is, in other words, the point is that the pasuk is implying that there's only one person who's chayev. And that will have to be the second one, as we'll explain soon. The Rebbe, whereas Rebbe would say, Hahu mi boile ki yichre ish bur v'loi shur bur. That comes to teach us that, as we learned previously, that if a person digs a bur, then you chayev for an animal falling in there. But not if a shur dug a bur. As we learned a few days ago, a case where a person's shur goes into somebody else's chotzer and digs a bur in there, the owner of the shur is responsible to pay the owner of the chotzer for the damage to the chotzer, but then the owner of the chotzer is responsible for filling in the bur, and if you're covering it, and if he doesn't, then he's the one who's chayev. The case was, we had a few days ago, where Reuven's shur went into Shimon's chotzer and started digging over there and dug a whole bur. We said Reuven has to pay Shimon for the damages to his chotzer, but Shimon is the one responsible to fill in the bur or cover it, because Reuven is potter, because his shur is the one that created the bur. We also had, for example, Rashi referred over there to something that we learned at the beginning of the second parak. You had an example over there of a dlil, something like a string or something like that was hefker, and a chicken somehow got a hold of it and got attached to the chicken's leg, and then it creates a bur, and somebody tried, an animal trips over it and fasadabim. So therefore, there you have a shur, his animal, his chicken created this bur, and he's potter for the results of it. If it was his delil, it's different, but we talked about where it wasn't his delil. Anyway, the point is, so Rebbe would say that's what we learn from the word ish, not one person rather than two. It means a person rather than a shur.
Oh.
Yeah. So, v'rabbanon, what are the chachamim answer to that? They say,
That an animal hurts another person.
Not an animal that hurts a person, an animal that created a bird. No, it's not enough. The Rabbanan answered, Trei ish bur ksivi. The fact is, it says twice ish bur. Ki yiftach ish bur, or ki yichra ish bur. So from one of them, we can learn what you're saying about sure, about not if a sure creates a bur. And from the other one, we can learn what we're saying, that only if one person makes it, not two. The Rebbe, what does Rebbe answer to that? He says, okay, you know, it's a style of the pasuk. I did the kosev high, once it had to say ish by one of them, then it says ish by the other one, not necessarily that we're meant to learn anything from it. Okay, so the Gemara says, when we made l'chayuvi basra, dum l'chayuvi kama. So how do we know, according to the Chacham, only the second one is the one who's chayev, both for Misa and for Nezakin? Maybe the first one should be chayev. After all, he dug most of the bur, he dug 9 of the 10 tefachim. So maybe he should be the one chayev. Fine, you're saying the word ish means only one person, but how do we know dafka means the second one? So the answer is loy sakudai. You can't think that way. Because the pasuk continues, the dead body of the animal should belong to him, meaning, as we learned earlier in the Masechta, that it belongs to the nizik. The mazik has the responsibility of schlepping it out of the burr, but then he gives it to the nizik, and then he uses that towards his payment for the nizik, as we've learned before. So since it says v'ames yaloi, how to call it misa? So the one who made the bird deep enough to cause misa is the one that the pasuk is implying is the one who's chayev. Well, that would have to be the second one who made it 10 tefachim. So the Gemara asks, v'hai, what do you mean? V'hai v'ames yaloi, v'boi lo l'chidur rava. What do you mean? The fact is, we need that pasuk v'ames yaloi to teach us a different thing that Rava said. D'omar Rava, shur psulei amukdoshin shenofa labur. If an ox of psulei amukdoshin, so an animal that used to be, it was designated for a korban, but then it developed a mum or any of a number of other things happened that made it possible to bring as a korban, it still retains a certain degree of kedusha. In particular, when it dies, if it's not, you're allowed to shecht it and eat it. But if it dies, you can't feed the meat to dogs or give it to goyim or whatever. Because it still has that degree of hekdesh. So one second. Shenafal a burr, and Rava says if such a shur falls into a burr, potter, then the owner of the burr is potter. Shenemavam messi aloy, because the pasuk says the dead body of the animal should belong to him, implying the misha mes shaloy. So it only applies, the concept of burr only applies where the dead body is his in the sense that he can do whatever he wants with it. But since here he can't, since it's also bahana, then therefore it's, no, we don't say vam messi aloy. Rashi, by the way, points out, if the animal was still kodshim, then there's no question that you'd be potter, because then it doesn't belong to you anyway. Then it belongs to hekdesh. The chiddush is, even when it's psula amukdoshin, it does belong to you to a certain extent, to the extent where you're allowed to shecht it and eat it wherever you want, and you can eat it betuma, and you can sell the meat, and so on and so forth. Nevertheless, that's only b'chor and meiser, because b'chor and meiser, behema, don't belong to hekdesh. Therefore, in other words, like this, the chachamim took the view, the Gemara talks about this in b'choris, other psula amukdoshin, the animal becomes possible to bring as a korban, you have to buy it back from hekdesh. If the chachamim are going to put restrictions on how you can sell the meat, you're not going to want to pay as much for it. So in order to give you an incentive to pay hekdesh, the full value of it, the chachamim will allow you to sell the meat. Once you get the animal back from hekdesh and you shecht it, you can sell the meat however you want. Bechor and Meiser, where they don't belong to hekdesh, you have to bring them as a korban. But if they can't be brought as a korban because they developed a mum or whatever, then they don't actually belong to hekdesh. You're not buying them back from hekdesh. Therefore, the chachamim imposed rules that, yeah, you can't sell them in the market, and you can't sell them by weight, right, and various other rules. So you're not treating it like ordinary meat. But here you don't have that. So anyway, the point is, though, that if the animal was still hekdesh, for sure you'd be potter, because shor re'eh uvelo shor hekdesh. But the chiddush is, even when it's psula amukdoshin, then nevertheless you still, and other kinds of nizikin would apply to it, but not when it comes to a bird over here, because it says v'amesi aloy. The point is, we're using it for that. So how do we have it available to use to talk about the person who made the burr able to kill? Yeah. Well, the Gemara answers back. Knew the very fact that you're talking about a dead animal implies, automatically that implies you're talking about the person who killed it, the one who made the bird deep enough to kill. In other words, that yes, you can, in effect, you can learn both drushes from the same point, because the implication is you have a burr that was made deep enough to kill an animal, but if that animal is something that you can't save, I'm messy alloy, then you're not chayiv. So therefore, yes, we can learn both dinim from it. And therefore, yes, the Chachamim can say that we can learn from that the one who made the bow deep enough to kill is the one who's chayiv for everything, not only for the death of the animal, but also for the nizakin of the animal if it wasn't killed.
It's not hefker.
It belongs to somebody.
He
said he can't give it to the dogs because the pasuk says v'achalta. The pasuk says you're allowed to eat psulam ukdoshin, and we learn from that you can eat it, but your dogs can't. So if you have an animal that you designated as an oila, let's say. The animal developed a mum, you can't bring it as an oila. Right. You have to buy it back from hekdesh. Once you do, it's called psula amukdoshin. You still have ownership of the animal. You have owner. It's up to you. You're allowed to. You're allowed to shechteneiv. There are certain restrictions what you're allowed to do with it. You're not allowed to shear it. You're not allowed to milk it. And you're not allowed to shear it and use the shearings. You're not allowed to milk it and use the milk. And if it dies, you're not allowed to give it to dogs. That's something else. That's as far as Bechor and Meiser. That in addition, the Chacham say you can't sell the meat in the normal way by weight or in the marketplace or whatever. Yeah, you sell it privately. Yeah, when you check.
You have to milk. You just throw the milk out.
You're the only one that can eat it. You're saying your dog.
No, you can give it. You can give it to any other year. Onward. The Gemara says, "Tana Rabbanan, echad achoyf a bor asara." Suppose that Reuven digs a pit 10 tefachim deep. Or ba achav yishlim la esrin. Shimon comes along and digs it another 10 tefachim deep and makes it 20. Levi comes and makes it 30 tefachim deep. Kulan chayavin, if now an animal falls in there and gets killed, or injured in there, all of them are going to be chayim. Because the fact is, each one created more of a possible damage over here. Like this with 10 tefachim, it might have only gotten injured a little bit. Now that it's 20 or 30 tefachim deep, it gets much more badly injured or killed, as the case may be. In fact, Tosfos says, by the way, that we don't even have to say 10 versus 20. We could even say, at least according to, we could say that actually even 10 and 11, even 10 and 11, each of the more, the deeper you make it, the more you make, the more hazardous you make.
Small shots.
No, maybe less than a tefach wouldn't be, I don't know, but it continues the Gemara. However, Uramin, we have a contradiction to that. A Braisa says, Echad achoyf a bor asara, if one person dug a pit 10 tefachim deep, or ba'achav esiyed v'chiyed, another person comes along and plasters the walls of it and makes decorations on the plaster. The point is that now the plastering makes it that now the inside of the burr is narrower than it was before. They would have a fairly thick coat of plaster. When they made burris like this, you don't just dig a burr in the ground. The water will leak out. So you have to, you'll get dirty, you'll leak out or whatever. So they would waterproof it by putting a coat of plaster on it. You go sometimes now, for example, in the coastal tunnel tours, they'll show you old cisterns over there that are from the areas around the coastal, and you'll see a fairly thick layer. You'll see in some places where there's left over a fairly thick layer of plaster. So we're not just talking about over here like a coat of paint. We're talking about something that actually makes the burr significantly narrower. Anyway, the point is,
that it can come back, like refill. I'm saying
a burr, the difference between a burr and a bear, a burr is a cistern. There's no inflow of water into it. You open it up rain. And rain fills it or whatever. A bear would be something where water wells up from underground.
But I'm saying you can't take all the things out, all the dirt that you dig and put it back in.
If you do that, then you're filling in the burr. Yeah.
No problem.
Anyway, we're saying over here that if one person dug a burr 10 tefachim deep, and another person came and put a coat of plaster on it, then ha'achrin chayev, the second one is going to be chayev. Now, why is only the last one chayev? Why shouldn't both of them be chayev? The first one created a burr that's already enough to kill because 10 tefachim. The second one is making it narrower. So he added a little bit, but at least the first one should also be chayim because he made a burr 10 tefachim deep. The first braisa that we just quoted said that Reuven made it 10 tefachim deep and Shimon made it 20 and Levi made it 30 and would be mechayev all three of them. So why shouldn't be mechayev Reuven in this case as well? He dug a burr 10 tefachim deep.
One was very good.
That was Shimon put the plaster on. Why should Reuven, who dug the burr in the first place, not be chayev? The braisa is saying ha'achron chayev, only Shimon is chayev. Why? That's the question. So lema ha'rebi ha'rabbanon. Should we have to say that these two braisas reflect the opinions of Rebbe and the Chachamim respectively? That when we say chayev, when we say that all three of them are chayev, that would be, for example, like Rebbe had said about the one person with 9 and the other person with 10, since the second one made it able to cause hezek, so therefore a greater hezek. The Rebbe had said the first one who dug 9 tefachim deep, which is enough for nizakin, therefore he retains enough chiyuv to be chayev when an animal falls into it. And then over here the same thing. Then the same thing. One made 10 tefachim deep, the other one made 20, the other one 30. So all three of them are going to be chayev because any one by themselves made enough for misa. One second. Ha Rabbanon, and then the second braisa would be according to the Rabbanon, who say that only one person is chayev, and they would say in this case it would be the second one who now made the burr narrower, and therefore made it that now the burr has more hevel in it. that now it has more stale air because now it's now because narrower than it was before.
Fresh air going.
Yeah. So in fact, the Toras Chaim says that it's true. You could argue on the face of it, the first one made a complete bird that's able to cause death. The second one really only added a tiny little bit. Why should we even chayev him alone? And he says, because when the Pasuk is saying, v'amesi aloi, doesn't always mean because the second one is the one exclusively who caused the misa. The Torah is just giving us almost as a simen. The Torah is just telling us, in general, the last one is the one who created the Shir Misa. But even over here, he didn't create the Shir Misa. It existed before him already, because it was already 10 Tvachim. Nevertheless, that's enough to be Mechayavim. Because we said Ish, and then the Chacham, and when Vamesi Yaloi, and we learned before, the Chacham say, that teaches us that only the second one is Chayav. That means even in this case, even though the second one really only added a tiny bit on top of the first one. So if we say that way, then the two brises reflect the opinions of Rebbe and the Chachamim. Is that how we have to say it?
You can't say the last.
No, you
can't say that by putting on this
the plaster.
He was the last one to leave it uncovered. Also,
well, that may be, but we're not talking about that. We're talking about because after the plastering was put on, yeah, I mean, it could be obviously he left it uncovered, and then, but no, what we mean is, for example, even if afterwards he covered it, later on Reuven, who was the original one who dug it, comes and uncovers it and leaves it uncovered, we're still saying Shimon is the one. If Shimon put a proper cover on it, no, I take that back. If Shimon put a proper cover on it, then yeah, he's going to be potter. But like we said in the Mishnah, we could have a case where he then uncovered it and then left the other guy using it or whatever. We're going to have a case. Yeah, we could. You could have a case, in other words, where the burr is more likely to cause problems now. And yeah, let's say, for example, Reuven, after he dug it, also left it uncovered. Nevertheless, we're being mechayev only Shimon in the second braisa. So why is that? That would be apparently only according to the Chachamim.
Even if Reuven, digs it, now Shimon
adds the plaster. Right. So we
and
said
Reuven
Shimon is...
And
so now let's say neither one had covered it. Neither one had covered it.
The main thing, the point about the last one who touched it.
Yeah.
The last one touched it. It's the only one is Chayav.
That's what we're saying. Omer of Zvid. So Rav Zvid says not necessarily. You could say both brises are according to the Rabbanon because ad kam lekaamir Rabbanon achron chayev ala hechad loy obed kama shiur misa. You know when the Chachamim are saying that only the second one is chayev, where the first one hadn't by himself created a bird deep enough to kill. The second one added to the 10th tefach and made it able to kill. Aval hechad obed kama shiur misa, but where the first one all by himself had already done a shiur misa, afilu Rabbanon moider to call in chayovin, then even the Chachamim are going to agree that all of them are chayev. So I'm going to ask, well, siyad v'kiyad d'ka'ovid kama shiur misa. What do you mean? In the second braisa, the first one had already made it 10 tefachim deep, which is enough to kill. V'katani achren chayev. And yet the braisa is saying only the last one is chayev. And only because of adding the plaster. So it sounds like the Chachamim are not saying that when the first one, even though the first one did 10, nevertheless, the second one is, only the second one is going to be chayev. Why? And the answer is Amri, because the answer, Hossam Shaloi Haiba Hevel Misa. The difference is, in the first case, the original one who dug it 10 Tfachim deep, there wasn't Hevel in it enough that could kill an animal, only enough. There might be enough Hevel to cause injury, but there wasn't enough for Misa, namely, in other words, that it was very wide, as the Gemara is going to talk about in a few lines, that when the burr is wide, then there's no problem of Hevel, because then stale air doesn't gather in there. So uva'acher v'hoisef v'hevel amisa. Now the second one, by adding this thick coat of plaster, he made there's much more hevel in there. Now it's able to kill. So it's light going from 9 to 10. So this is therefore that is why the chachamim in the second braisa are going to say that the first one is potter because his burr was not enough to create hevel, and only the second one added that now it's capable of causing hevel.
The first one still made
made enough to injure but not to kill. Only to injure, because there isn't Hevel.
No, but it's 10.
It's 10, but nevertheless, we said, according to Rav before, we said that according to Rav, you can't be mechayev him for chavta, you can't be mechayev him for the impact, because it was karka olam, because that's just ground that was always there and that belongs to the rabbin. Rav was saying, you chayev only on the grounds of Hevel. Well, then if it doesn't have Hevel, then there's not a problem.
Oh, so that's not how deep it is, Hevel isn't that?
That's the Rav had said, we're only concerned about Hevel, Rav had said that the only reason you can be mechayev a person for creating a burr that's deep enough to kill that's deep enough to kill an animal is because such a deep burr has hevla. It has stale air in it, and that weakens and kills the animal. So if there's no hevla, then Rav would say you're punter.
Okay, and that's
even though it's 10 tefachim deep.
We'll learn later on. What's the?
So now we're going to talk about soon about the shape, right? Yeah.
Okay.
So
if you left a cover and it's very weak.
The cover we're going to talk about. We're going to talk about the cover. We're going to talk about the cover tomorrow, message. Yeah. Okay. So yeah. Okay. So that's the answer. The second one added more hevel that now makes it that now it's something that can kill where before it couldn't. Rashi, by the way, points out when we said that the Chachamim would agree, the Chachamim said the miut that we say that only one person is chayev. That was again when we said it was nine, and then you can't be mechayev him because the hames yaloi, implying that there was a dead animal over there. So therefore, nine is not enough to be mechayev him. But we said mainly though that limud is teaching us what Rava said about shor psalam akdoshin. Incidentally, we learned from it that it means that it's a bird deep enough to kill. So therefore, by the same token over here, we're talking about to begin with, the bird did not have the quality that could make it kill because it was wider that it wouldn't. And then this guy added the plaster, and therefore he made it narrower. So the Gemara says, Ika da'amri, Omer Rav Zvid, another version of what Rav Zvid says, Havaha Rebbe. You could answer that both brises are according to Rebbe. The first version of Reb Zvid was that both of them are according to the Rabbana. The second version is that both of them are according to Rebbe. Half the Katani Kulan Chayovin Shapir. The first brisa with the 10 and the 20 and the 30, that all of them are chayev, is easy enough to understand according to Rebbe, because he says Acha Shneim L'Nezakin, both of them are chayev for the Nezakin. V'hachta Katani Kulan Chayovin, V'hodu Katani Achven Chayev, the one that says that only the last one is chayev. Would be like we just said. Suppose that there was not enough hevel in it, neither for misa nor for nezakin, or ba acher, and the other one came and plastered it. Vahosif by hevel bein la misa bein la nezakin, and added. Now it's narrower, and now it has relative to its height, and therefore it has more hevel, both as far as misa and for nezakin, and therefore Rebbe is going to say that only he is chayev because the first one, the nature of the bird that he created, was not the kind that would have caused either misa or nezakin, because it was wide enough that it wouldn't have caused hezek. Now Rashi said, how would it kill? Because the fact that, well, that's the thing. So the second person added plaster, and then an animal fell in there and died. So we're saying if he had left it without the plaster, when an animal fell in there, nothing would have happened to it. In fact, Rashi says that works out nicely according to Rav. What about according to Shmuel, who said we have to consider Chavta as well? And for that matter, we have that question in the first version of Rav Zvid as well. The answer, Chavta is the impact. The answer is Shmuel could explain that these brises are talking about where the bottom of the bur is covered is padded. So therefore, so there's no problem of chavta. There's only the problem of hevla. And again, if the bur was wide enough, if there's no hevla, and the second one now added the plaster and now increased the hevla, then we can be mechayev him exclusively. So Rebbe would say that that's the case over here. So Reb Zvid in the second version is saying that's the case over here. The first one created a bur that wouldn't have had hevla or chavda. It's too wide to have hevla. It's padded, so there's no chavda. And according to Rav, you don't even need padding because according to him, you're potter for chavda anyway. Because according to him, kavka olam, you have to factor in that. Kavka olam means it's ground that belongs to everybody. It's not ground. The ground was always there. You didn't create that. This animal that impacted on the ground and therefore got injured or killed. But the fact is that you didn't put that ground there. It was there before. So Rav is saying,
because it's away the ground, that's why.
Well, that's why Rav says hevla. That's why Rav says hevla. You can't be mechayev him because of chavta, because in effect it's only hevla. Shmuel says it's either one. So again, we're talking about a bird that didn't have hevla, and according to Shmuel, in addition, it was padded, so there's no chavta. Now this other guy came and added the plaster. Therefore, we can say that's why Rebbe would be mechayev him exclusively, because now he made it capable of causing either misa or nezakin. Okay, so the Gemara continues. Amar Rava. He niach even al pia bur. What happens if a person dug a bur 9 tefachim deep, and now somebody put a rock on the edge of the bur v'shlim al asara, and now you have a full 10 tefachim deep. Now you have a machlokas rishonim, whether we mean over here, did he put rocks all around it so that everywhere there's 10 tefachim deep, or do we mean we put a rock on one side of it, and that happens to be the side that the animal fell in from, so now at that point where it fell, there's a 10 tefach deep thing. Anyway, so Rabbi says, "Bonu l'machlokas Rebbe v'Rabbanon." In that case, we're going to be subject to the machlokas of Rebbe and the Chachamim, whether we can be mechayev of the guy who put the rock there or not. So the Gemara says, "Pshita." Isn't that obvious? It amounts. It is the same thing. And the answer is Mao de Tema. Without Rava having told us, you would have thought Lamato who de have Lodide Kokotulai. Only when you dug the 10th Tefach at the bottom, then you have stale air at the bottom over there is what kills the animal. Avalamila, but when he added the 10th Tefach on top, Delai have Lodide Kokotul. On the face of it, he didn't add the Hevel that kills the animal because the Hevel is at the bottom of the burr. Amaloi, maybe you shouldn't be Machai of the guy, and everybody should agree that the one who put the rocks there is Potter. Kamash Malon, therefore Rava is telling us that no, it's still has an effect and it makes it that you still have it doesn't create hevel, but it prevents the hevel from escaping as easily, and therefore it's enough to be machayev. If you did it all around, all the more so. But even if you did it on one side, the point is we can still say that we can still say that it means that he made it 10 tefa, he made it 10 tefachim deep. So actually, what the a Talmud of Rabbeinu Tam who wrote a Pirush over here on the Masechta explains that according to Rav, since we have to be concerned only about Hevloi, then it would have to be the stones are all around in order to make a full 10 tefach deep all around. According to Shmuel, that were chayef for Chevta as well, it's enough that it fell down on the side where you put the one tefach rock, because then you have a Chevta of 10 tefach.
Is it different that pits?
What do you mean? We're talking about
it's saying like. It's saying like not just one that falls, like I don't know.
We learned in the Gemara yesterday. About if you have a pile of if you put a pile of dirt in Rosh Hashanah and an animal climbed up on it and fell down or knocked into it, then according to Rav he's going to be potter because there's no hevla, and according to Shmuel he'd be chayiv because there was chapter.
One's just like slanted or it's
whatever. The point is, as long as the animal can fall in there. Yeah.
Yeah, we looked at like five different names.
Yeah, five different names. Types, yeah. Okay. Onward. The Gemara says, Boy Rava. Next, Rava has a question. Where are we? Boy Rava. Tom Tefach. What happens if there was a burr of 10 tefachim deep? So what do you have? Reuven dug 9 tefachim. Shimon came and dug another tefach. Now Shimon went and put back. The same Shimon who dug that 10th tefach put back in dirt and brought it back down to 9. So now the Silik Avonov or the case that we just had where a person put rocks by the edge of the burr and then he took away his rocks. So Mahu, what would be the din? Mia Minan Mai de Ovad Shakle. Do we say, look, he added the 10th tefach from the top or from the bottom, as the case may be. Now he removed it, so we're back to square one. Therefore, only Reuven is chayev. Oidomen is stalk my sedition. Or maybe we say, once he added the 10th tefach, like we said before, he overrode, he completely made a new metzios of a burr that overrides what the first one does, become like kola birshose, and therefore it becomes completely in his rishus. Therefore, he's going to be chayev even afterwards for the nizakin. Fine, Misa, he can't be chayev. It's only 9 tefachim, but is he maybe chayev for nizakin that happened with the 9 tefach burr? And we're what do we say? So the Gemara says tape. So we can't be right. Sure about that. And as usual, what that would mean is basically I'm motzi mechaber
al varaya. So we ask the question: the point of a person who holds hevel, there's no hevel here, except them.
But but nevertheless, there's nizakin. There can be enough hevel for nizakin. Right, everybody agrees that less than 10, everybody except maybe Rav Nachman that we learned on Amud Aleph would hold that less than 10, there's no Misa, but there can be Nizokin. So now if something falls in there and gets injured, is he Chayev less than 10? Is he Chayev or not? So do we say that he took away whatever he put there before or not? You do have actually, by the way, there is a discussion among the Mephoshim, are we saying, in other words, that so what do we end up saying? In effect, we can say both of them are potter. Each one can say, Reuven can say, look, whatever I did was overridden by Shimon. You can't be Machayev me anymore, just like the Chachamim had said before. Shimon can say, yeah, but what I added, I took away. So therefore, so the result is the Tur and the Smeh bring over there that actually both of them would be potter. The Meiri actually learns differently. He says that no, what it is the second one is certainly chayev. The question is whether the first one is chayev. Because so therefore, the second one, he should have covered it, but that's another matter. But the point is, in other words, that he dug that 10th tefach. So and we have a suffix whether taking away that 10th tefach removes his chiyuv. But in other words, we have more of a reason to say.
He touched it last also.
He touched it last. Therefore, he was for sure chayev at one point. The question is, did he now undo his chiyuv or does he retain the chiyuv? Okay. Another case. Omer Rav Balachon, Omer Shmuel by Marisa. Bur Shmoina. Suppose you have a bur 8 tefachim deep. Umehem shnei tefachim mayim. The bottom 2 tefachim of the bur are filled with water. So now if an animal falls in there and gets killed, chayim, then the owner, the one who dug the burr, is chayim. So the Gemara says, my time, why is that? That's not 10 tefachim deep. Because kol tefach demaya ketrei diabosh adami, when it comes to hevla, at least, one tefach of water is the equivalent of two tefachim of depth in terms of hevla. So therefore, in other words, what we have is, even though the burr is only 8 tefachim deep, but because the bottom two tefachim of it are water, therefore, 8 plus 2 is 10. So we have the equivalent. So we have the equivalent of 10 tefachim of. We have the equivalent of 10 tefachim depth.
In other words, there was eight.
There were 8 tefachim. So in other words, what we have is there's six tefachim of space and 2 tefachim of water. So we have 6 tefachim of space. Each of the 2 tefachim of water count. Each tefach counts like 2 tefach. Counts like 2 tefachim of space. So therefore, we have 6 plus 2 plus 2 is 10. Because he's saying, as a fact, that's how it is. That water being over there adds more to the stale layer. So the Gemara says,
it doesn't help.
No, 2 tefachim of water is not enough to break the fall in. So the Gemara asks the boil. So now we have a question. When he says 8 and 2, what about bur tisho mehen tefach achamayim? What about if the bur was 9 tefachim deep and the bottom tefach was water? Mahu, what would be the difference? What would be the din? Me, I mean, given the fishy maya less behem. Maybe not. Maybe that's not enough water to create more hevel. Maybe when Rabba Baba Chana is saying that every tefach of water is the equivalent of 2 tefachim of dry land, of space. Maybe that's only when you have a lot of water, not when you only have 1 tefach of water, which is only 3 or 4 inches deep. So maybe that doesn't cause hevla. On the other hand, you can consider the burr is deeper than in his case. His case was a burr 8 tefachim deep. Here we're talking 9 tefachim deep. Isle isbe hevla. Maybe there is hevla in it. What about also bur shivo mehen shloisha tefachim mayim mahu? What about the other way around? If the bur was only 7 tefachim deep and the bottom 3 are water, mi aminu kiven in a fishy mayim tve isbe hevla? Do we say since there's even more water than in Rabbi Baba Chana's case, then for sure there's more hevel? Oidoma kiven dalei amka less be hevla. Well, maybe because the bur is not that deep, it's only 7 tefachim deep from top to bottom. Maybe therefore there's not hevel. And so the Gemara says, again, in these cases, teku. And in these cases, again, basically, I'm motzim a chaver l'varaya. And if someone, if the nizik goes and grabs property of the mazik, then you can't take it away from him. The Rambam, by the way, has a different girsa. It's interesting. All of these things that we're learning now about bur
Rambam
is all going to be Rambam Shlosha Prakim tomorrow. So here, the Rambam has a different girsa over here. His girsa is that Rabbi Baba Chana's statement was specifically where the burr is 9 tefachim deep and the bottom tefach is water. Then the Gemara had asked, what about 8 and 2? What about 7 and 3? And those are the ones that the Gemara leaves as take, according to the Rambam's girsa. No, it's just me. Yeah, I mean, my battery's low. Yeah, that's fine. We'll be finished soon. The Gemara says, Bominate of Shizbi Me Rabba. Rav Shizbi asked Rabba another question. Hirchiva mabu. What happens if somebody widens the burr? So the burr was narrower, and now he made it wider. Omale, so Rabba says, what's the problem? Hare mia tevla. In that case, then he made less hevel, because now there's less stale on him. Omale, so Rav Shizbi said, Ad Rabba had a kid of Hezekah. On the other hand, he made the hezek closer, because now it's more likely that an animal is going to fall in there, because it's bigger. Hello, Omar Ravashi. So Ravashi says, fine, nechzi anan. We have to see what the circumstances are. Iba hevla mayis, if the animal died because of the hevla, hare miyat hevla, then we can say the first one created less hevel, so therefore there's more reason to make him potter. The iba chavta mayis, if the animal died from the impact, hare kirav hezeka, then we can say that he made the hezek more likely, because he made the burr bigger, he made the burr wider. Ikada amri, another version is Omar Ravashi, nechzi anan. We have to consider a different way, says Ravashi, according to the second version. If the animal fell from the side that he made bigger, then you have to say, look, he made it bigger on that side. If he hadn't made it bigger in that direction, the animal might not have fallen in, so therefore he should be chayev. On the other hand, if the animal fell in from the other side, then the fact is he made less hevel in there, and therefore you have more reason to patter him. So it would depend exactly that. It depends which side. It would depend which side the animal fell from, and also which side did he increase the size of the burr? The burr went originally till here. Right. Now he dug it out to here, and now it made it more likely that which side it came from. Right.
It's also matter if you made the burr bigger.
Well, that's what we're talking about. Bigger. We're talking about width. We made it deeper. We said before that both of them are chayev. We're talking about width over here. And in fact, the Ra'ah brings over here a different understanding that we're talking about. It didn't fall on the side where he made it bigger. The question is obviously if it fell in from that side, sure, he's going to be chayev. The question is, on the other hand, when he made it bigger from the other side and the animal fell in, not from the side he made it bigger, still, is he considered like a partner in the burr? And therefore, it would be like one person making the burr 10 tefachim deep and the other one 20 tefachim deep. And maybe therefore he shares in the responsibility for the burr as well.
But the havla gets less.
The havla gets less. But on the other hand, the likelihood that the burr will that something will fall into the burr is great.
Going back to what we said about the water, if he makes water higher, makes a five amos, and then the ox goes in, and it drowns.
The grounds, then same thing. I guess it would be the same thing. Yeah. Okay, so the Gemara says it's bad. Here's another discussion on the point. If a burr is exactly as deep as it's wide. The Rabbi of Rabbi Yosef, the Rabbi of Rabbi Yosef, the Ami Tavai Mishmei, the Rabbi of Abachana, the Ami Mishmei, the Ramani, there's a machlokas what the din is. One says that it always has Hevel unless the width of it is greater than the depth. But if it's exactly the same, then it still has Hevel. On the contrary, there's only Hevel unless the depth is greater than the width. So according to that, if the depth and the width are exactly the same, then there wouldn't be Hevel and there wouldn't be a problem.
Only if it's deeper.
Only if it's deeper, then there would be a problem. Right. Okay. We'll continue tomorrow. That's a shame. We could have gone a few lines further, but yeah, so it's fine. It's pretty much the beginning of a new discussion.